If you want to take all that you know about the financial planning and the business and personal finance world and apply it to the state of New Jersey, you'll be colliding with a system which works the exact opposite way. When you have less, you spend less. When the state has less, it commits to spending more. One of the many consequences of this action is an unfunded state pension liability of almost $250 billion. That's more than eight times the 30-plus billion the state spends each year just for basic operations. Here to discuss this financial anvil hanging over the state and whether it can in any way, shape, or form be properly and effectively addressed is the state director of the New Jersey chapter of Americans for Prosperity, Erica Jednak. Thanks for being here today, Erica.
Thanks for having me on.
AmericansForProsperity.org is the website. I mean, just the simple math of the matter, Erica, about $32 billion is what it takes to run the state every year. And the state pension fund deficit is looking at over $230 billion. How can this possibly be? I mean, if this was a business, the sheriff would be sticking a tag on it with the date of the sheriff's sale.
Oh, sure. But the difference, this is coming from taxpayers. So many of the lawmakers in Trenton, right, they just figure that people can afford more. But frankly, there's been a lot of bad math and mismanagement, and we certainly need to put reforms going forward so we're on the right track for the future.
Well, as far as reforms, I mean, you look at who runs the state house, and we're assuming who is going to be the next governor, and they are all friends of the labor unions.
Oh, sure. And one of the big issues that happened this year with the pensions was a potential constitutional amendment. It never actually made it to the ballot, and we were very instrumental in fighting that, but it would mandate the full funding of the pensions and also freezing all current benefits. And it's really the latter that's a big issue. We need some fiscal planning before we freeze benefits for forever.
Well, it also seems, too, any time an idea comes through, there's always this grandfather clause, which lessens the potential solution any idea would bring with it, because you're eliminating the people in the here and now as far as being a part of the solution and just dealing with people who are going to come, you know, dive into the pool at a later date.
Oh, sure. But frankly, at this point, even if we move just new state employees to 401ks, it would at least stop the bleeding. We can start there.
Oh, no doubt about that. New Jersey, by the way, if you look at percentages, according to reports, has 26.9% of their pension liabilities funded. And there are quite a few states in that mid-20 percentile, Massachusetts, Mississippi, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania. You look at the top of the list, the best of the bunch being Wisconsin, with only 63.4% of their pension liability funded. And you have to go down to North Carolina at number two, which is under 50%, 47.9% for them. So this is New Jersey isn't alone facing this challenge, but New Jersey is certainly one of the worst as far as dealing with this challenge.
Oh, sure. And it's frankly just years worth of overpromising, right, to state workers. And look, I get it. My husband's a state employee. However, you know, we really need to get benefits in line with the private sector, right, so that employees are contributing as well, and have some more flexibility and options. You know, there's plenty of young people coming into the workforce who don't plan to be at a job for 30 years and vest with a pension. They would actually like a 401k so it can roll over. So I think there are some opportunities for reform here. And the report that we're discussing here from State Budget Solutions, it really just highlights the amount of debt per person in New Jersey. It equates to about $26,000. And that's just pensions. That doesn't include anything else.
Has the mistake also been that the pension fund potential growth has been overestimated and the reality growth has been greatly beneath that? And that's added to the problem, too. Too many have placed their faith in the projections versus the actuals.
That's correct. The state of New Jersey is assuming that the return on investments will be about 8%. And frankly, we'd be more than lucky to get 8%.
I'd be more than lucky to get 3%. If someone can find a steady growth of 8%, I'll put my money into that at this point. I alluded in the introduction to how the idea of applying financial theory to business versus how it's applied in state are two different animals. As far as what is paid in by the state versus what businesses typically pay into pensions. How vast of a difference is it?
It's huge. We were trying to find that number this week at the office, but it's literally, you know, it's more than 40% different. That's how ridiculous it is.
Yeah, I believe the number I found, the state pays up to 90%. It varies on the contract. The state pays about 90% of pension, and typical average in the private sector ranges between 15% and 18%. So you can see part where, you know, the state, which as we all know, Eric, has been financially challenged for decades now through the fault of both parties, by the way. A lot of people place the start of it with the Whitman administration, but certainly the Corzine, Florio, and other administrations carried on with the process. But when you have tenuous financial stability to make these large financial commitments, where's the fiscal logic out of all that?
I'd be the wrong person to ask there, but you know, I think a lot of it comes down to, right, we need the political will in Trenton, and something that we do at AFP is actually engage regular people, the citizens of New Jersey, to meet with their lawmakers on these issues, particularly the pension liabilities. And we actually need the political will to get everyone at a round table together, right? We have fiscal experts who are willing to come in from out of state and actually do the modeling for all different proposals on the table. Let's just get that dialogue started. So that's what we're proposing.
Talking with Erica Jednak, who is the state director of the New Jersey chapter of Americans for Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org, is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And as far as that discussion and solutions, I know that Americans for Prosperity have placed some ideas on the table. What are a few of those, and what's been the reception to those ideas?
Yes. So we've proposed that the state should go to 401ks for new employees, and then also reforming benefits for people in the system. I would say largely it's been a partisan issue where Republicans are supportive of the ideas and the Democrats are not. However, there are some Democrats who understand totally the seriousness of this issue, and I think they're concerned most about the blowback from the union. So even though that we have lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, right, willing to put forth reforms, they're really concerned about what the teachers' union are going to do, and even their constituents as well.
I think we all recall back in the Corzine era when then-Governor Corzine was standing on the steps of the State House at a union rally saying, I'm going to fight for you. Have we gotten better than that political stance, or is that still the spirit of how the Democrats in the State House are operating?
Oh, it's much weakened since then. If you recall back in, I want to say maybe August, Senate President Sweeney, he actually called out the unions for bribery, actually. And I don't know what the investigation has been since then, but since the constitutional amendment was not placed on the ballot, the teachers union said, okay, we're not going to fund any Democrats, including at the county level, right? So he called them out for being unfair on that. And I think we're seeing quite a bit more dissension as well.
And a lot of people theorize, too, that's one of the reasons why Sweeney decided not to run for governor, because he realized that by speaking openly and honestly, he pretty much shot that horse before he got out of the barn.
You know, he's been proposing some solutions as well. And, you know, it's the blowback. But frankly, we need principal leaders, right? We need people to stand up to the union. And again, I always say it's not about the rank and file membership. It's often the leadership at these unions, right, who are the driving force.
We'll learn more about this issue to become more informed on it and to become an active role player in making sure that the financial state of the states becomes greatly more secure than obviously the numbers are showing in the here and now. Learn more about this at the website for Americans for Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org. And top of the menu, find the drop-down for your state throughout the state of New Jersey, wherever you're listening. Let's say you do that. If you're listening elsewhere, you can do that as well for your respective state, because as you'll see in some of the reports, some of the numbers at AmericansForProsperity.org, the financial state of most of the states is tenuous at best. And we've been joined this morning today by the state director of the New Jersey chapter of Americans for Prosperity, Erica Jednak. Erica, thanks for bringing attention to this issue. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me on.